This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following lecture was recorded May the 6th, the year 2001, at the Riverbank State Park in Harlem, New York. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you. Dear believers, Muslims, brothers and sisters all, peace be unto you as we greet in Islam, Assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah, that is God of all the world, the Lord, Creator and Lord of all the world. We thank Him for our presence here. We witness that He is one for all His creation and for all people. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, God's servant and his messenger, and a mercy to all the world. And we thank Allah that this religion has reached us in America, and we have accepted it, and now we are in harmony with the spirit and letter of this great religion revealed to Muhammad in the Quran by way of the angel Jibril, or Gabriel as they call him. We are thankful to Allah because this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to any people, for them to get religion correctly from God. We didn't get it easy. We got it the hard way. But so did the people of Moses. They got it the hard way too. They were in bondage. They were under Pharaoh. And Moses, as a child or a baby, peace be upon him, was sent up the river or down the river. But he went up because he went to a kingdom. He went to a great kingdom, the kingdom of the pharaohs. He was sent there and he became one of the workers in the upper level of leadership for Pharaoh. And God made him know his calling eventually. And when he separated from Pharaoh, the trouble started for him and his people. They were already in bondage, not Moses, because he was sent where he could be free with Pharaoh. But once he rejected Pharaoh, then he was in the same situation with his people. And God guided him over a long period of time. He was guided, and finally his people were delivered. They were free from bondage, and they were free to have their own life and their own establishment, their own culture, their own life, their own establishment. And I don't think God intends less for us. Not all of us, but God has blessed a few of us with a religion, Al-Islam, that is our heritage. And I hope you understand this, some of you do. Islam is our heritage, our natural heritage. It is not only our heritage by history. History says that many of us were Muslims when we were brought over here as slaves. I have pictures from the newspapers that my father saved showing slaves with the turban on, Moroccan style turban on, being sold on the auction block. Thus they were brought here to these shores. So we know there's much proof that many of us were Muslims. So if we have an African heritage that we want to not lose, isn't it much more important to not lose our Islamic heritage? So this is not just a religion for us, our conversion for us. This is the opportunity for many who had their heritage taken away by force to live the life that they were in before, to return to the life that they were in before. That's according to history, according to the teachings of the Quran, God, and according to the teachings of Muhammad, his messenger, servant and messenger. Every human being is born a Muslim. Now, by that definition in Islam for Muslims, you should say, Islam is my nature, Islam is my natural right, Islam is my inheritance. Does that make sense? I think it'll make sense to Einstein, to Dr. Du Bois, and to a fool half insane locked up in an institution. Now, if it doesn't make sense to you, you ain't with what is right. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Now, I want to have just a comment or two before giving you my presentation for this time, for this occasion. This community is making me so happy. I'm telling you. Everywhere I go now, almost, just about everywhere I go, I may see something, you know, looking sloppy and like it's half dead or dead. But everywhere I go, I see bright eyes, bright spirit, dignified people going after class. And that makes me so happy. I don't know if you all know me, and it's hard to know me because I will take off class and put on a raw man's dress to get where I think we have to go. I'll do that. And I'll be just as happy in the raw as I would be all dressed up in class, as long as I know we're making progress going where we have to go. That's me. You all know me, many of you know me as a religious man. That's wonderful. I want to be known, firstly, as a religious man. But religious man in Islam is not always religious man in other religions, especially Christianity. And Christianity, African-American or black people style. A religious man in Islam is a man like Muhammad, the model for all Muslims and all mankind, really, according to our scriptures. And Muhammad was a businessman before he was the prophet of God. Muhammad was a rounded man. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he was seen sweeping floors, helping his wife clean up the house. He was seen shopping for his own food in the market. So why should I be different if I represent the office of Muhammad, the prophet? If I represent his office, and every Imam that claims to follow the Quran and his tradition, you are representing, whether you know it or not, the office of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad. So if I am representing his office, shouldn't I be like him? If I don't have that nature, I should pray to God and try to take on that nature, where I can be comfortable sweeping floors, comfortable going shopping in the market for my own things. We can't say we follow him and then reject his lifestyle. He didn't have the lifestyle of those who love pomp and glitter of the world. That was not him. He was far from that. But he was not the kind of leader to impose his taste on other people. And then God came
understand that Muhammad began with few powerful people as his companions. God blessed him to have a few powerful people as his companions before he became a prophet. So when he became a prophet, they remained his companions, and they were the best of the people to follow him. Like the Khalifas, Abu Bakr, we call them Khalifas now. Like his companions, the Sahabas, Abu Bakr, Ali, Uthman, Omar, great men. He blessed him with those men. But the majority of followers were poor people, the poor. I don't know if you have heard the story or seen the movie about Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. The ones who wrote that story, they were looking at Muhammad the Prophet. And Ali Baba, supposed to be Muhammad the Prophet. And the 40 Thieves means his followers. So this is a criticism. This is a neck of the thing. This is a ridicule of our Prophet and his followers, his first followers, Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. But at least they had to tell the truth about his purpose. He wasn't out to get riches. If you saw this movie, Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, or if you heard or know of the story, he was not out to get riches. He was out to help those who were oppressed by the rich. And he did help them. He took from the rich and gave it to the poor. And that's what Zakat does. And the leader that followed Muhammad, he said, I will go to war with you if you do not give zakat. That's what he said to him. May peace be upon the companion of the Prophet Abu Bakr. He was a mild man, but he said, I will go to war with you if you refuse to give zakat. Now that was right after the Prophet had been among them, walking and talking and living and working for them. What do you think happened over a period of centuries now? What do you think the people are doing now? They have left Islam, and they're calling themselves Muslims. All over the world, they have left Islam. Very few Muslims in the Muslim world. Very few are leaders, Muslim leaders are in the Muslim world. The great majority of them have left Islam and are living like their ancestors were before Islam came, living like thugs, gangsters, con men, oppressors, etc. That's the state of the Islamic world. Not coming from me, this is what they say about themselves and what I know about them. I study them. Yes. So this is not the only negative I have to bring you here today. One learned imam that I admire so much, I pray for him. I pray for Muhammad Prophet first, and then after him, I pray for this man. And this man old man told me once, he said, Wallace, you know, the beginning of our religion is a negative. Say we have to say a negative before we say a positive. It begins with la, no. Ilaha illallah, no God but God. It begins with the negative to establish a positive, to bring in a positive. And God is my witness, I'm going to bring you, I'm going to come from the negative. But I'm coming from the negative so that we can be more positive. Praise be to Allah. Now, let me congratulate you who hosted this, but the imam who hosted this event, and the organizers and planners and organizers who initiated it, and the beautiful and beautifully clothed models that have given us this wonderful fashion show today. I don't know how they'll look without these garments, But in these garments, they look pretty enough for me to follow them home. You see, that's crude. I'm glad I still got a little crudeness in my refinement.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
When I don't have any crudeness in my refinement, I won't be a complete human being. Now, God is my witness. I've never pursued any woman that I didn't marry. God is my witness. And I'm afraid of marriage, so desire is here, sisters, but I won't be following you home. I have nothing to be ashamed of. If I have something to be ashamed of, I go to Allah with it. As soon as I recognize that I have something I'm ashamed of, I go right to Allah with it, just like that. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I was once threatened by somebody. They say, well, you want me to go public with this? Trying to get me to do something they wanted me to do that I shouldn't have done and I didn't want to do. I said, go public anytime you want. I said, get on the 6 o'clock news and let me know in advance so I can be watching it. I said, you help yourself. No, can you blackmail me? No, sirree. I won't do a thing if I'm not ashamed. If I'm ashamed to face the people, I'm not going to do it. Because the people's wrath is also God's wrath. God's wrath is through the people and through your own nature. Yeah, so I know not to do anything that'll bring the wrath of the people on me. If I do that, you won't see me. If I have to fall to that level where I'm that weak, you won't see me. I'll be gone. So, well, he's missing. You don't know whether he's dead or alive, but he's been missing a long time. Yes, so I want you to first know a little something about me. But I think I should tell you a little something about my father first that many of you don't know. The first restaurant that the community had, the Nation of Islam had, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened it, and he managed it, and he made it successful. My father, and leader you admire so much and love so much, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The first grocery store we had was opened, managed, and made successful by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The first butcher we had was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he told us, he said, I went to the market, and I told them, I said, if you will show me how to make the meat cuts, I got a following, and we will do big business with you. He said, the owner said, no problem. So he put Honorable Elijah Muhammad on an apron, and then he showed Honorable Elijah Muhammad the cut of the meat, the cow. And showed Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the chop all the meat, and then demonstrated to Honorable Elijah Muhammad how to make those cuts. And he gave Honorable Elijah Muhammad the chop that he was teaching him from. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad took the chalk and hung it up into the facility that he had bought with our money, because it was the community. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was supported by beautiful, wonderful people. He didn't have an outside job. He didn't have to, because he didn't have to have any work outside or try to get money from somebody, Arabs or somebody. He didn't have to do that. because the pioneers loved him so much, they would give him everything they had and even suffer if they had to. But they wouldn't suffer. They suffer only the loss of money and the loss of the convenience to have certain things. But they didn't suffer. They were so happy doing that. Happy doing that. That's the kind of followers he was blessed with. And a man that would lead the people the way he led the people deserved those followers. You say, well, why didn't you tell us those things when you were back there telling us that he was wrong? Because I first had to tell you he was wrong to break his grip on you so I could take you where you had to go. It wasn't my pleasure to tell you anything bad about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That was never my pleasure. It was what I had to do. Now that it's over, we should lift him up, because he was much more a Muslim than he was not. He was a believer, and a courageous believer. If he had had the knowledge that God blessed me to have, there would have been no need for me. You hear me? That man could have done. I miss him now. I wish he was with me. A dumb, stubborn donkey that balk on you when you need him most. Yeah, I'm glad Muhammad didn't tolerate that. He didn't tolerate people disrespecting their post, disrespecting their job, disrespecting our investment, disrespecting what we want as a life. He didn't tolerate it. I can be patient and pray for you and keep looking at you next day, look at you, see if you improve a little bit. And even if you go back and say, you know, you start going back, I say, well, they're going to come forward after a while. Sometimes I hate that side of myself. I wish the Honorable Elijah Muhammad could be resurrected. And he was a strong man. Nothing could deter him. Nothing could turn him around. The world, threats of putting him in jail, the FBI, nothing could turn that man around. Suffering, imprisonment, suffering the lack of the goods of this world because his followers were extremely poor in the beginning, 30s and 40s, and the 50s too. Change only came in the middle half, the last half of the 55 and on up, big change came. Yeah, but nothing could change him. Big shots coming from across the water to question him on what he's teaching?
Hey, brother, you just don't understand.
Nothing could turn that man around. Now, if he hadn't been that kind of man, we wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. Yes. So now that we are over the troubled waters, and we're on the land where we can see what God wants us to do with our lives, I want you to know my father. When the 60s came, and he was getting old, he said, we have to make a material showing so our people will come to us. So he went after material things. And to get the material things, he knew he had to have men who wanted the material things. So the leadership changed from humble, spiritual, God-fearing God-loving people. That's what we were in the 40s, in the 30s, in the 40s, in most of the 50s. To those who want the fancy things of the world. He pretended to be pleased with them because he needed to use them to get his material work done. I came from out of prison myself after doing about 14 months in Sandstone, Minnesota. So what, same thing, he got 5 years straight for. And he did 5 years, including the jail time. He actually was locked up for 5 years. So I came out, and when I saw this new group of leaders, this is negative, I told you, so I'm not going to bring you, but for the sake of having more positive in this community, not for the sake of negative, no. I looked at them, I said, wow. I said, these people are different. This is not the same Nation of Islam. They had big shiny rings on their fingers, long leather coats, long fur coats, not just the ministers, but also their wives. Well, I can't tell you everything. There's no need, but God used me to get rid of that. And I was successful only because God accepted me for my goodness and my intent. And also being the son, not just the son, but I have to say, the favorite or the favored son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, I was favored to be named after the man he called God in the flesh, Wallace D. Muhammad. We got postcards from his teacher right now for his teacher sign, Wallace D. Didn't even put Muhammad, Wallace D. All he got on the postcard was Wallace D. And sometimes he put W.D. and F. or Farad. W.D. Farad. That's how he signed his correspondence to my mother, to my father, and to my father's brother, Kalat, who was supreme captain in the time of Farad. He sent them cards. And I didn't ask for those cards. My cousin, the son of my Uncle Kalat, brought me cards that his father had and showed them to me. And my mother, before she passed, she said, son, I want you to have these. And she gave me some cards from him. And one of the cards, I'll tell you exactly what it said. It says, sister, the new child has come. The new delivery, or something like that, has come. I can't remember exactly whether it was a new child, a new baby, a new delivery. It wasn't baby. But he said, has come. I know that. And he said, you promised to name him, give him, you promised to give him my name. Says, take good care of him. That's what he said. This is the teacher of my father, writing this on a card to my mother. And that was not the only card he sent, asking about me and telling her how to take care of me.
Be sure to join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society Leader. For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.